Hello and welcome to a Brave Space podcast with Dr. Meeks. My name is Chelsea Glasgow and I'm your host. And today we are celebrating Women's History Month and all of the magnificent and wonderful women who have lived a life of wellness. If we had to have an episode title for today, it would be Women of Wellness. Before we get started, I want to define the definition of wellness. And wellness means it is an act of practicing healthy habits on a daily basis to attain better physical and mental health outcomes. So instead of just surviving, you are thriving. Take a moment to think about what wellness means to you. In the meantime, me and Dr. Meeks are going to have a discussion about these women of wellness. How are you doing today, Dr. Meeks?
I am doing very well. How about you?
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Dr. Meeks, I want to get started with one of your favorites, Ida B. Wells. Please talk to me about her and how is she a woman of wellness?
Well, thank you. And I'm always so delighted to talk about Ida B. Wells. I'm sitting here in my workspace with pictures of her all around the wall because she just lends such a great energy to me as I go forward in doing my work. The thing that helps to contribute to wellness and something that Ida B. Wells had so much of was a sense of self-awareness and being grounded in who you really are and understanding what you need to be doing in the world and in responding out of that space rather than having to kind of be just walking through the world with every wind that's blowing about to blow you down. I mean, she had this sense of self that was amazing to come by, particularly with all of the things that she had to overcome on her way to becoming that person. And of course, she wasn't always there. I mean, it's not like you wake up and you got it all together. But I think that wellness is so much more than the absence of disease. And we sometimes think about it as just being, I'm not sick. I don't have a disease. So that must mean I'm well. Well, you cannot have a disease and be spiritually and mentally not in too good a shape. And in that case, you're not well. And I think in terms of Ida B, she had a lot of struggles and challenges, but she was connected to herself in ways that made her be able to be a person who modeled wellness in some amazing ways.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I want to highlight that you said was Ida B. Wells wasn't always who we know her to be now, right? She had some experiences, you know, with finances. She wasn't financially well at certain periods of her life. Mm-hmm. Some of her relationships, right? And talk to me about the journey to wellness.
Well, I think one of the most important things for our audience to pay attention to, Chelsea, and all of us as we live, is that wellness is not about perfection. You know, we tend to think of, you know, I got to be perfect. Well, if I can look perfect and act perfect, then I must be well. Well, you might not be. You know, I think that the most important thing is to be authentic, to be genuine, to be where you are. When you read Ida B. Wells's Memphis Diary, she talks about her struggles. That to me is a part of the process of becoming a well person, to acknowledge the things that you're struggling with and to do the best you can to figure out what the remedy is. And you're absolutely right. She had trouble with finances. She had trouble with boyfriends because she was so far advanced from most of the guys around and they didn't know what to do with her. And I love reading her autobiography because she reminds me a whole lot of myself with in that regard. You know, you sit in the room with people and you're so far down the road from them until it's difficult to even have a decent conversation. And she found herself in that space a lot with the guys that were available to her. And it's just lovely reading that diary and seeing that young woman struggling with that, and then knowing what I know about Ida B. Wells, the woman who took on the establishment in ways that I'm so thankful I don't have to take on, because here she was with them wanting to kill her half the time. And, you know, that's an amazing place to arrive at in your life. But her faithfulness to her journey kept her putting one foot in front of the other, and it led her to that place of having to stand up courageously and live in a country, in her own country, with people putting a bounty on her head.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that, you know, to be a woman of wellness means to be someone who's authentic. It doesn't mean that you are perfect, right? It just means that you are actively working towards that perfection. You are being honest about certain things that you're experiencing, and being accountable to those things. Mm-hmm. Would you say mm-hmm. that, you know, honesty and accountability and authenticity are ways to survive and overcome not being well? What exactly can we learn from Ida B. Wells?
Well, we can learn from Ida B. Wells to be clear, to be willing to listen to your own heart, to God, to whatever voices you have that help you to discern what's in your heart, to listen and know what's there, to know what you're called to be willing, to be courageous, to be called into. You know, I'm pretty sure that she must have had many times when she wondered what in the world was she doing, you know, because she was really putting herself out on the line in so many ways. I mean, it started when she was 16 years old with taking up the responsibility of caring for her siblings when her parents died from the yellow fever epidemic. And she never stopped saying yes to the challenges that came on the path toward her. But I'm sure that there must have been days when she would say, what am I doing? And why am I doing this? And then she got affirmation from her faith, from her understanding of herself and her call to be the person that we know now as we look back through her whole life. I'm just always so careful not to want to romanticize people like Ida B. Wells, because that's what we get into. We want to romanticize them and put them on a pedestal, and then we can't allow them to really inform us about how we can go forward in the search for wellness and authenticity, because we've made them so much higher than ourselves. We're not. I mean, we are all called to be well, to be on our journeys, to be authentic. And Ida B. Wells helps to mirror that if we will look at her in a holistic way and not just pick the heroic parts, but to look both at the struggle. That's why I love the Memphis Diary so much, because it gives you a chance to look at what was going on with her in just the daily struggles with money and men and getting it together. And then you look at, you read her in her later life, and here she is with the working against lynching and working for women's rights and doing all these courageous things. And if you just want to take that end product, then you're doing her not a good favor, because she was all of that. She was the young woman in the Memphis Diary, and the older woman with a bounty on her head are the same person.
Yeah,
you know, that's right. And so, in order for her to really, for us to be fair to her, to honor her really is to honor that whole person and not just the part that we choose to take, which is what we do to people who go out and live their lives in the ways that she did. And then we call them exceptional, and we put them in these categories, as I was just talking about. And then we can go on being less than what we were put on the earth to be, because we've named them to be so much more exceptional than we are. And I don't think that is a good way to use these people's great lives to help us on our way. I think using them, we end up using them to hinder us rather than allowing them to inform us in the midst of our own struggles and our own questions and doubts. We need to embrace that the same way as she did, or whoever the heroic person is that we're looking up to.
Wow, that was very profound. You know, it just made me take a look at how we currently view people when they're in that diamond in the rough stage, right? You know, just as Ida B. Wells was the same Ida B. in, you know, the Memphis Diaries, and the same one that we praise today, right? The same woman. But when she was in the rough, the people who saw her messing up her finances probably wouldn't have those nice things to say about her. The men perhaps in her life probably wouldn't have those nice things to say about her. What do you think? How can you identify when someone is on a wellness journey?
Well, I think the good way to identify is to watch, you know, if it's a historic figure that you're reading about, then do the kind of thing we're doing here is talk about it. I mean, look at their life in a holistic way. If it's somebody in like the, say, for instance, Oprah Winfrey, because she's a current heroic figure, but to just pay attention to what they have to say about what their struggles are and to believe them. And, you know, because if they're honest, you know, Oprah has always been very honest about her struggles with weight and very public about that. Well, I know a little bit about that struggle myself. So pay attention when people are confessing, that's one thing. The second thing is to just sit yourself down somewhere and understand that nobody is perfect. And if you've made somebody perfect in your mind, then you just made them up, because nobody is perfect but God. And none of us can take on that role. So I think just some good self-awareness, Chelsea, is one of the best rules of thumb, to just be more self-aware, to look yourself in the mirror, look at yourself in the mirror and be honest about who you see, not to beat yourself up, not to make yourself less than you are, but to pay attention to your strengths and weaknesses. I think to know that if you've got strengths and weaknesses, so does every other soul on the planet. And nobody is different. I don't care if you're famous and rich or poor and living under the bridge. In many ways, there is no difference.
Yeah, thank you for that. Thank you for that, Dr. Meeks. So, you know, I know you mentioned a little bit earlier that wellness is more than physical wellness. Wellness is a mental and a spiritual capacity and state of mind that we can be in. And I believe, you know, Murphy Davis really highlighted that. Can you talk to us a little bit about Murphy Davis? And just before you go into that, I want to let our listeners know that we actually have a Murphy Davis Let's Get Well campaign. Murphy Davis is a woman who we are honoring this month and many months after for her commitment to wellness. Can you tell us a little bit about her?
Yes, I certainly can. Reverend Murphy Davis, Presbyterian minister, co-founder of the Open Door community here in the city of Atlanta, that provided hospitality for people living without shelter and for people on death row and in prison. And she ran a prison ministry in Georgia and was an amazing soul. Spent 25 years battling a very lethal form of cancer that was, when she was first diagnosed, they told her she had about 6 to 9 months to live. And she lived for 25 years after that. But she had many surgeries and many trips to Grady Hospital. But even in all of that physical suffering, she was well in so many ways because she gave so much of herself to folks on death row, accompanying people through their executions. You know, I'm so deeply grateful that I was never asked to have to accompany anybody to death on death row. And Murphy did that many times. She had this amazing, kind of weird sense of humor. That was probably one of the ways she coped with some of what was going on with her. She also advocated for herself at Grady in a way that made it better for other people coming to Grady who didn't have the capacity to advocate for themselves. You know, she could have opted to go somewhere else to get treatment, but she chose to go to the same place that the people they were serving had to go to. That was a very intentional decision on her part. She had a lot of clarity about who she was and what she was about and what she was called to do. And this quiet spirit that just was a force to be reckoned with. I'm just so grateful that I had a chance to know her and that now we have this opportunity to highlight her as she has gone on to glory. We say as she has gone on to dance with the angels is what we say. I'm so glad that we have the opportunity to launch a campaign around wellness because our nation needs to heal so badly. And we all need to step up to the plate to see what part can I play in that? What do I need to do? How do I need to rid myself of toxic things that can help contribute to the collective of toxicity? And Murphy was always diffusing toxicity by just being this person who's walking through the world with, you know, a rare disease that's going to kill you. And yet she lived her life as if she was totally without disease. She had that. She had the courage. I never heard her complain. I knew her for 30 years and I never one time heard her complain. Now that's pretty amazing.
That is the characteristics of someone who is well. You know, I love what you said about ridding ourselves of those toxic thoughts, toxic behaviors, because once we do that, we allow the room and the space for us to think about how we can serve. You know, when we have those toxic things in our lives, we're so focus internally of just trying to cope with those things and get to the next day. And, you know, Murphy Davis could have done that. She could have focused on the fact that she had cancer and day after day, you know, going through the feelings in her body, but instead she chose to focus on being an advocate. She chose to focus on serving. She chose to focus on laughing. She chose to focus. And whatever we focus on, we know that is what will grow. And she chose ultimately to focus on wellness. I think that is a very fruitful behavior to change our direction.
Yes, Chelsea. And let me interrupt to say, I love what you just said about she chose to focus, because people, all of us get into thinking that we don't have choices sometimes, you know, that we're caught in this space, but we always can sit ourselves down and make a choice about, am I going this way or that way? I mean, most of us can do that. I know there are circumstances where you may not be able, but for the people, most of the people listening to this podcast have the resources in their lives that will allow them to make a choice. And you know, when you get up in the mornings, you can decide if you want to go through life looking at the day as being a gift or a curse. You can decide if you want to care, even if you don't feel too good. I have rheumatoid arthritis, and I've had it for now close to 40 years. And most days I'm stiff and have a little, you know, dull pain, not anything like somebody with a toothache, but I can make a choice. I can focus on that, or I can go about being who I am put on the earth to be. And the wonderful thing that happens is when you make the choice to focus on the positive, to focus on gratitude, you feel better. Because as you were just saying a minute ago, you turn your attention away from the stuff that can pull you down. And it's not sticking your head in the sand. It's a choice. It's making a choice.
I love that. Thank you for pointing that out. You know, even God gives us will, a free will, right? And that free will is to choose. Biblically, you know, there's a scripture that says, choose ye this day who you will serve. Mm-hmm. And if we were to make it plain, we can choose this day, every moment that God gives us breath, that God gives us this present of life, we can choose if we are going to use it for his glory, or if we are going to be sad, if we are going to not serve, do the very opposite. Are we going to serve God, or are we going to serve ourselves? And, you know, that is the distinction to someone who is well, because when you choose to serve God first, and when you choose to serve people, you automatically feel better. You know, you could be having a horrible day, but when you give and when you serve, you feel better, even if your life, you know, if your life is down in the dumps, but you're serving others and you see that smile you put on someone's face, you see the difference that you've made, you feel better. And not, it's not just a feeling, and actually you are better because of it.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one of the things that we've often talked about with people that are extremely poor, that one of the great detriments to forcing people to live in poverty that is so great until it removes from them any sense of having the capacity to give to other people. And you don't have to have money or jewels or big gifts to give to people. I mean, you can give all kinds of things out of just your own sense of agency, but people can be, you know, reduced to a level that they don't have any sense about that. And that's one of the most egregious things that comes out of marginalizing people to that point. And that's something that we need to think about, because every day you can walk through life, you know, offering people a smile or even a good thought or a prayer or a blessing. And it makes a difference inside your own soul if you can do that. But if you get pushed to the point that all you can do is think about how bad your own life is, that is a very horrible place to be. And while I'm talking, let me just say, I want to make sure that I don't forget to tell people about Murphy's book, which is called Surely Goodness and Mercy. It's about her journey with cancer and how she engaged it. And the book is so amazing and can be gotten through the Open Door in Baltimore, which is where they are now housed. And people can just visit the Open Door website and get information about how to order the book.
Yes, thank you so much for that, Dr. Meeks. That's right. Please purchase that book. If you are looking on how to get well, if you are thinking, you know, while we were having this conversation, if you are thinking, wow, that is remarkable, I want to start this wellness journey, I want to know the mindset and the mentality that it takes to become well, please, again, get that book, Surely Goodness and Mercy by Murphy Davis. Well, thank you. I think that's about all of the time that we have today. But guess what? The journey does not stop here. The Center for Racial Healing has the Murphy Davis Let's Get Well campaign. It is now going. It is on. It is thriving. And so please follow us on our Facebook, the Center for Racial Healing, as well as our Instagram, Center for Racial Healing. Also follow Dr. Meeks' Facebook page, Dr. Catherine Meeks, if you want more information on A, how to get well, B, what you and your organization can do to start or continue this wellness journey, and C, for all information regarding dismantling racism and healing. Please, if you have any questions, comments, or concern, feel free to contact us on one of those social media pages. And you can always visit our website at www.centerforracialhealing.org. Dr. Meeks, do you have any final words before we go?
No, yes. I will, okay. I just want to encourage everybody to just pay close attention to yourself and be kind to yourself and compassionate, because to whatever degree you're willing to be compassionate to yourself, that's the same amount of compassion that you will extend to other people.
Absolutely. Please meditate on those words. Well, we thank you so much for tuning into A Brave Space podcast with Dr. Meeks. Again, I'm your host, Chelsea Glasgow, and always remember to tell the truth. Bye-bye.